right. So here with the amazingly named Sky Blue. I mean, come on. That is like one of the best wrestling names, you know, dancing names, ballerina names.
It just kind of goes. Works. My grandpa helped come up with it, too.
Oh, really? Tell us how you got that name.
So, like, my mom's always spelled my first name this way, but then my grandpa was like, we would always watch wrestling with him at his house, and he was like, why don't you just do Sky Blue? And I was like, no, that's too basic. Here we are. But
you put an E at the end of it, though.
Yeah, that's how my mom's always spelled my name.
Okay, is your name actually Sky?
Full name Skylar, but we spell it differently.
Okay, well, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
Good. So you were just saying right now that you were doing some training.
Yes.
Before. Is this, and kind of to explain, like, is this what you guys do before every Dynamite?
If Dustin's here, yeah. We'll just, like, roll around in the ring with Dustin, do drills, and then practice matches or, like, stuff we want to work on.
So is that kind of a training session for you guys?
Yeah.
Do all the girls do it?
It just depends on who's here.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Who gets in early enough.
Yeah. So, but you said only when Dustin is here you do that?
Yeah.
Is he kind of like help with the girls?
Yeah, Dustin's awesome. He helps so much. Like, if you have any questions or you want to, like, anything you want to work on, he's always there. He's so helpful.
How long have you been wrestling for?
Oh, goodness. I started training when I was a junior in high school, so 17. Almost 8 years.
Wow. So it's still beneficial to go in the ring and train, though, right?
Yeah. It's totally different because, like, I started training in a 16-foot ring. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, now doing a 20-foot ring, it's totally different.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
I think at one point when I first started, there might have been actually been, my mind's eye was a 10-foot ring. They can't have been that small.
They have a 14 low boy in Chicago.
That you fit in, like, to bars and stuff like that?
It's, like, the outdoor ring. Like, when they do the fairs and the festival shows, they use that one, and it's terrifying because you just see the ring, like, shake. And I'm like,
so small.
Yeah.
The one that we were in before was, like, you could never get pinned because no matter where you were in the ring, you grab the ropes, right? Yeah, exactly.
Can't beat me.
So you started training as a junior in high school.
Yeah.
And, like, that's kind of, like, a dream because when I was in junior high school, we were actually doing, like, you know, wrestling in the high school gym on the mats and all that sort of stuff. But how did you get into training as a junior?
So me and my mom stayed with my grandpa for a little bit because he was, like, having back-to-back surgeries. So we just kind of moved in with him, and we would always watch wrestling, whether it was Monday night, Tuesday night, whatever it may be. And there was one day that I was like, oh, I want to do that, Mom. And she's like, no, you don't. You're not going to do it. And I was like, okay, watch me.
Okay.
And so I, like, stayed up all night. I was, like, looking for training schools in Chicago. I was like, okay, who's going to take a 17-year-old girl? Like, nobody's going to let me do that. And I found one that would. And I, like, scheduled a tryout, and she was like, really? I was like, surprise, you want to come with? And she was like, all right, let's. And then my grandpa came with, too, so my grandpa was there for my tryout. And they were like, yeah, as long as your mom's here, you can train.
Hmm.
So
you could only train if your mom was there?
Yeah.
So how were you able to convince her when at first she didn't want you to do it?
At first she definitely thought it was, like, going to fizzle out. She was like, oh, you won't stick, you'll just go back to track. And I was just super determined. I was like, now I have to prove you wrong. Like, I wanted to prove her wrong. And just, like, I was very determined myself. I was like, I was the only girl at the tryout, and I was the only girl in that school for 4 years, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was just very determined. I was like, I want to be able to hang with the boys. I want to be able to do what they could do. I didn't want to just be, like, treated like a girl.
Right.
And when I didn't give up, she was like, okay, I guess we can do this.
She figured out this is something that you wanted to actually do, right?
Yeah.
So you were in track before?
Yeah, I did track through up until my junior year of high school.
What were your specialty events?
I did 4x2 and high jump, but I sucked at high jump. It was really bad.
So what's a 4x2?
So it's like the relay where each person runs a 200.
Oh, okay.
So you do 2 laps total on the outdoor track.
Oh.
It's horrible in the cold.
Oh, for sure, especially Chicago, yeah.
There would be snow on the ground sometimes. We're like, do we have to be outside, guys?
So how does that work then, like, for the relay? Like, do you have to audition to be on the team? Or is it, like, just, like, 4 people, like, let's get together and do a relay?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, like, track, they let whoever wanted to join in high school. But, like, they would do, like, how do you say, like, they'd pick, you know, if you felt like you were a sprinter, you'd go with those and work out with them, or you long distance.
Mm-hmm.
And then the coaches would pick who would be, you know, what event, and then it was, like, between JV and varsity.
So I've never discussed a 4x2 before. Kind of tell us what some of the secrets are to, like, winning. I mean, obviously you want to run as fast as you can, but is there any kind of tricks to the trade or anything like that?
Never pass them on the curve, only pass on the straightaway. Because, like, when the circle, there's, like, you do a curve and then one straightaway, that's a 200.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you would just stay with them on the curve, and then the straightaway, you just sprint.
And why is that?
Because you, I think, and this is just how it worked in my brain, I might be crazy. It was like, so when you start, I don't know how to like, if this is the thing,
right.
They're staggered. Because like,
right, all the staggered lanes, events of the track.
Yeah, yeah, so it like, you could be in one back here, but eight is all the way up here. So it looks like they're ahead. And
but they're not, because mm-hmm. it's all the same it's amount the same of
distance,
feet.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it's just easier to once judge. you catch up, then you're like, okay, and then you go.
Oh, wow.
But so,
yeah. Did you guys win like championships and stuff?
Oh, never. My high school sucked.
Okay. So it wasn't like, you know, once you stay in track because you're on the way to the Olympics, stay in track because you're enjoying it.
It was, yeah, I liked, not the running part, but like, I just like, we got to do a lot of morning lifts. Our coach was also the varsity football coach.
Mm.
So we got to go lift with all the football boys, and we would, like, through summer, we'd still be able to work out and do a bunch of stuff.
Gotcha.
So it kind of kept me busy during
high school. So you're athletic. Yeah. So when you started training, what was the name of your trainer in the school?
I don't really talk about them, but that's okay. It's
a school in Chicago.
A very small one in Chicago.
Gotcha.
Not the greatest. It was, but now I train. I go use the ring with Steve Boz. It's a CSW. So it'll be Steve Boz and Jason Hades.
So when you first started training, like, what were things that were kind of easier to do, and what parts did you have problems with?
Definitely like heights, and like, because the top rope is always like up to my chest.
Uh-huh.
So like jumping over the top rope or like doing stuff like that at first was very like, I would get stuck on the rope.
Is it because you're shorter?
Yeah but like I really enjoyed just like, I just wanted to be treated like one of the guys. Like, I didn't want to be babied. It was like, if they were hitting people, I wanted to be hit. Like,
mm-hmm.
I remember maybe 2 or 3 weeks in, I took a pile driver just for the hell of it. I was like, mm-hmm. I can do it. I'll be fine, guys. And they're like, maybe not, Sky. Don't do that. I was like,
but did you feel like just because you're a girl, quote unquote, a girl, that you had to work harder to gain people's respect?
1,000%. It was a very, like an old school carny training area. So it was very like, oh, you're a child and you're a little girl. And it's like, no, I can keep up. Like, I want to prove to you that I can do this. And like, once I like proved it to them, then they were like, oh, okay, she's cool.
Right.
But it was very much like, I had to prove it to them sort of thing. They were just like, ugh, you'll fizzle out eventually. And I was like, no, I won't.
If you're dealing with 8 years ago, so that's like what, 2015 or so?
Yes.
Around there? Yeah. So that was just after the Diva era.
Mm-hmm.
And right is kind of the, I guess, serious.
Like the Revolution.
Revolution. Kind of, it was around that time.
Yeah. I remember watching that and being like, oh, maybe I do want to do. Like, because I remember, not that I hated the Divas, but I was like, I just want the girls to be able to do what I loved watching, the hardcore matches. And my mom was like, don't you ever do any of that. Like,
yeah.
She hates that stuff, especially when she gets so hot, like hot and heated about it. But like, I was like, come on, it'll be fine. And she's like, no, just do what the girls do. And I was like, no, I want to show that like we're all equal. Like, we can all do the same shit. Stop. Sorry.
It's okay. You can say it. You're allowed.
But yeah, I always wanted to do what the guys could do, because I knew like deep down, if I tried hard enough, I really could.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like, I always found with like the Diva era is that you had, you know, and there was all the you know, the panty matches and all these things like that. But some of the girls could really actually work when they were given a chance to.
They're super
But that
talented.
Wasn't the role mm-hmm. meant to be played back then. But there's a lot of great athletes, and there's some of them that kind of were able to bridge the gap. Who were some of your favorites that you watched at that time?
I loved watching Alicia Fox. I wish I could do half of the things that she could do.
Wow.
Just
from like a
athletic
standpoint.
Like, and I remember watching Paige Soraya when she was Paige. And like, even just like when I wrestled her the very first time here, like little kid me was like, oh my God, I remember watching you. Like,
right.
Holy shit, this is real.
It's cool when you get a chance to wrestle with your.
Yeah, I've had a couple of those. Like, I wrestled Melina when I was in NWA, and that one was surreal. We had to like cut the match super short.
Because you were a big fan of hers too?
It just felt so unreal. I was like, holy shit, this is Melina, and I'm just little indie me trying to make my name for myself, and I got to wrestle, you know. Because it was the Empower Loop that Mickey did with the women's pay-per-view.
And TNA? Oh, I see it. I didn't realize that you... The women's pay-per-view.
Right. And it was like the loop after that.
That's okay.
It was the loop after that. So it was like we did that pay-per-view, and then it was like a couple more tapings at the Chase.
Okay.
And then I came here and I got signed.
When you started to your training, how long was it before you had your first match?
6 months.
Wow.
They threw me in the deep end.
So let's talk about your first match had. Who was against?
She's actually been an extra a couple of times. Her name's Sierra. She's from Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
But she's super awesome. We did like 3 matches. Like, we did 3 back-to-back matches. And then we wrestled like a handful of times like later in the indies. And it's so much fun because we're like, oh, look at us, like full circle.
Were you nervous though for your first
match? Oh, I was terrified because they had all the family come, and I was like, you guys don't actually.
For your first match?
Yeah. And I was like, you guys don't actually care about this. And they're like, no, we do. And the whole like family that I hadn't seen in years was there, and I was like, do I know you? Like, oh. But it was really cool. My mom got, like, she was standing on chairs taking pictures. She's like, that's my kid. Ah. She was so excited. But
so, like, and then what's kind of, how are you finishing high school and getting still wrestling, that sort of thing? Because if I had my way, I would have been wrestling in high school too. But it's like I was so determined at that point in time. Yeah.
I had to hide it for a little, not hide it, but like, high school was just like, oh, if you're doing that wrestling, you can do our wrestling. And I was like, no, you're not making me make weight. Like, not do.
It's not the same thing, yeah.
I would hear so many stories, like the boys having to just eat Jell-O all day. Mm. And I was like, no.
To make weight for their weight classes. Mm-hmm. For the, oh, gotcha, yeah.
But so like, when I started getting like, there was one day senior year, I came in with a black eye, and I would get pulled every class, and I'd be like, is everything okay at home? Like, yeah, I'm fine, guys. Don't worry about it.
Everything okay at home?
And yeah. Then I had shattered my right elbow in my senior year of high school. And I was like in four gyms because it was senior year and I didn't want to take classes. Mm-hmm. So I would just walk around all these study halls and be like, I'm just going to walk around the halls and everybody be like, why do you have a shattered elbow? Like, don't talk about it. Yeah. It's okay. Or like when they do the, especially when they would do the, hey, what are you going to do with your life after high school? Mm-hmm. You know, like they sit you down in the counselors. That was always the worst because I would be like, I already got it figured out. We don't need to do this. And they're like, no, you need to go to college. It's like, no, I got it figured out, guys. And they're like, well, what are you going to do? And I was like, oh, no, here we go. And like, it's very awkward. Here, I do this. And they're like, huh? What is that?
But that's not real.
Yeah.
You can't do that forever.
Mm-hmm. Or they would think, like, when I wouldn't want to tell them at first, they're like, oh, you're going to be one of those entertainers. No, that's not what we're talking about, guys. Right. Like, no. My mother would kill me.
it's interesting, though, because I had the same reaction, you know, 15, 20 years before you did in that one, where people still can't believe that you actually want to be in wrestling. But for you, it was much more viable because you can see it on TV, and yeah. Wrestling is so much more popular at this
more
point.
More, like, known.
Yeah, not more known, known, like, right? So it's funny to me that people would even have I mean, obviously, there's always going to be a little opposition, yeah. But you can actually do this now, right?
Yeah, it's more like I feel like a lot of like the newer generation kids, they're all starting younger, like Billy Starks, Nick Lane, they're all like 17 and 8-year-old. I'm like, damn, I thought I was the baby. Now y'all are like the babies. I like see her and I'm like, all right, I'm going to take care of you. You're my child now. Like, I feel like a lot of like the younger ones, we can all start younger. It's okay now.
So this was kind of like, there was no backup plan. It's like, this is what I'm going to do, and that's it.
Yep. I was like, I'm determined enough, it'll be okay. And then they're like, oh, you should probably like go to college for something. And I was like, no backup. I have no backup.
That's admirable. See, when I graduated from high school, I was only 17, and you had to be 18 to go to wrestling school. So I went to like journalism college for 2 years just to get something.
Yeah.
Because I had to kill time because I wasn't old enough.
Until you could be, yeah.
Yeah, but that kind of didn't exist for you to be able to just get in there at 16 or whatever it was, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, because they wanted, I was like, oh, I can just do community college or something. And they're like, oh, which one? I was like, oh, I didn't know there were multiple. I was like, oh, do I have to actually figure this out? And they're like, yes, guy. Oh, shit.
So did you have to?
I started an application and I like finished it just to like get the counselor to shut up. And then once she was like, okay, cool, here's your follow-up stuff, I just never did it.
Okay.
My mom was like, aren't you going to do that? No. Okay, I figured.
So you graduate and then like straight that summer, are you going to do shows? I mean, are you on the road? Is it mostly just in Chicago?
So the training school that I started at, they like ran a show every Saturday. Okay. Like in the buildings, like the ring stayed up and like we just did training and shows there. So I was already doing shows my junior year. Mm. And then I was there until I was 19 or 20. And then I switched schools to CSW, which I'm at now. And then they kind of like showed me, they're like, hey, you know, you can like go to other places and like learn other things and learn from other people. And I was like, oh. And then I just hit the ground running, and like my mom would drive with me to like travel shows. Like we would drive to Nebraska or Iowa or Wisconsin, wherever it may be. And she was just like, okay, I'm coming with. All right.
That's so cool that you're, because at first she wasn't so into it.
Once I left the original school, then my mom was like, all right, let's go.
Now we get
she
it.
Was like, yeah. She was like, we're not letting nobody take advantage of us ever again. Oh, we're
that's
going.
Great. So you'd be on tour, you'd be on the road touring with your mom.
Literally, it was the best. And she'd be like, or she'd be terrified of my driving, but but like the midnight drives home from Nebraska. Oh, Nebraska was horrible, but
you know, how long of a drive is that?
Eight and a half from Chicago. But it's just flat.
I know.
Until you get to Nebraska, and then it's like hill. Then it's like all those windmills with the lights, and then my mom's like, "Oh, maybe we're gonna die." The
cornfields.
Every time I would always bring her to. I did shows in like Indianapolis, and she just liked going for drives and whatnot. So when we would go there, there's like a certain, I don't know if it's like a highway or exit, wherever. There's a huge sign that says "Hell is real," and it's her favorite thing. She thinks it's the funniest thing. Just black and white billboard says "Hell is real" in big bold letters. And my mom's like, "Yep, it is."
That's so like you're in the Bible Belt.
But like every time I pass, I'm like, "Hey, mom!" She gets so excited. She's like, "That's my sign." I'm like, "Oh no."
That's so funny. Did you have any adventures with your mom on the road? Like, it's not easy being on the road. Like, your car could break down, or you could.
We went to Tennessee, and I did two shows. It was like me and my old tag partner, and it was like. I let him book both of them. That was the first problem. But it was like one, and then it was like, oh, 2 hours on the way home is the second one, and then we'll just go home. I was like, okay, well, no, it was 2 hours further. Mm. So we were 12 hours from home. But so we do the first show, and we go, and my mom was like, oh, we're going to go put gas in the car and go get energy drinks. And he's like, okay, I'll shower, and then I'll be ready when you guys are done. Okay, cool. Get in the car. We start driving. I'm driving. And she's like, why does this car sound funny? I was like, I don't know. It's probably just an old rental. It'll be fine. She's like, okay. Get to a light, car's not moving. And I was like, mom, I'm pressing on the gas. We pull into the gas station, flat tire.
Oh no.
Neither of us know how to change a tire. We're like, oh crap. So then we're panicking. She's like, well, what do we do? And I was like, well, he can't get to the gas station. He's stuck at the hotel. And then these two dudes come up, just walk right up to me and my mom, and like, we're from Chicago. You don't do that to two chicks. And mm-hmm. They're like, oh, do you want us to help? And I'm like, no, like, don't come near me. My mom's like, no, they're going to be nice. And I was like, what if they kill us? Like, no.
Mm.
But so we let them put the donut on, and they're super nice. And I was like, well, we are in Tennessee. That's probably why it's okay.
Yeah.
So then we go to Walmart, and then we go get a new car tire. And then we drive 2 hours further to the next show, go do that show. And that was actually School of Morton. So we go do that show. And then I was like, I was so done. I was like, let's just go home. I'll start driving. I'll get us as far as we can. Then we'll knock out wherever. And we'll go home.
Mm-hmm.
And mom's like, okay, cool. Tag partner falls asleep in the back seat, and me and my mom, and I'm driving. And it's a hill. Nothing crazy. Wasn't thinking anything. Go down the hill. I must have gone over the speed limit or whatever it may be. Cop lights turn on. And I was like, you've got to be kidding
me. Oh, my gosh.
Like, yeah. Of course. Pulls me over, and he was like, where are you from? I was like, not here. Chicago. Yeah. And he was like, well, why are you speeding? I was like, I wasn't trying to. I was going down a hill. My bad. And he was like, okay. Walks away, like, takes 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, my God, is this guy, like, what are we doing? Comes back with a speeding ticket and was like, maybe you should slow down when you go down a hill. And, like, whips my license at me. And I was like, I lost my shit. I was like, I'm done. I want to go home. I'm done. And my mom was like, I'll drive. And I was losing it. I was like, I just want to be home. I don't like Tennessee. I'm never coming here again. Like, I was doing – he wrote me a ticket for 5 over. Oh, I was like, you asshole.
That's
like,
speed trap.
I was like, you asshole. It was a hill. Yeah. Like, come on.
That's but
I guess
quotas.
Like Tennessee, they're like, oh yeah, don't speed in Tennessee. I was like, I won't ever again. I promise. Yeah.
But see, this is the cool thing though. When you start so young, because I started when I was 19 and you bring your teens too, you're learning not just wrestling lessons, but like life lessons too.
Without knowing it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yep. How many other girls your age were driving in Tennessee from Chicago, you know, doing shows and getting pulled over. I mean, that's kind of stuff that you are like you become an old soul very quickly just because you learn things.
It makes you mature. Matures you.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it totally does.
Definitely noticed that when I was like, and like once I started wrestling though, like I took care of my cousins a lot. So it was like, I was like, oh, now I'm mom. And now it's like, when I see like Billy Starks, I'm like, oh, I'm mom to you now too. Like, you are my child. Yeah, I take care of you.
At 24 years old or
whatever you are. You know, normal. Like, oh, I had her when I was 3. It's fine, guys.
You mentioned your tag partner and that it was a guy. Did you have to do a lot of like mixed matches?
Yeah.
So that seems to be something on the indies that's quite prevalent.
We did. Yeah, we did a lot. We were like the same size. So they called us 105 Live to be funny.
105 Live?
Yeah.
From a weight standpoint?
Yep. Yeah. But we did a lot of intergender matches, and then like we would just wrestle like guy tag teams just because there was no girls in the area, or not a lot, or like especially when you would go to like Indiana or Nebraska, there was no girls back
really
then.
Yeah. Wow.
So we would wrestle like a bunch of guy tag teams, and then eventually then we just kind of fizzled out and did our own like singles matches, but like occasionally, I mean, we tagged recently, maybe last year, but it was just somebody like I trained with for years, and we were like, we might as well try to be a tag team. Like, there's not a lot of tags in Chicago.
Is there a different kind of, and I obviously one of my first feuds in WWE was against China. But for you, is there a different way to approach wrestling a guy than it is wrestling with a girl? I mean, I know you say you want to be treated the same as a guy, but there still is a different dynamic, especially for the fans watching.
Yeah, right? I think you just have to tell the story properly, because like, I'm not going to pick up a 250-pound guy. Like, right. I feel like you just have to tell it, like, not the old school way, but like the way that it'll actually like make sense, and like that I have to work to bump a guy more so than just let me just hit you and you bump.
Right. Yeah. You have to show there's a difference.
Yeah. Like, because there's a size difference, there's a gender difference, and like whatnot. But I think it's just showing that like you can hang and you can still go, or like, you know, yeah, I can get my ass beat, but I can still hang and I still am determined and stuff like that.
So you're driving around, paying your dues, getting speeding tickets. When do you finally kind of, what's your next kind of big break up the ladder?
So I just kind of, I did a bunch of indies. I did AAW for a while for Danny Daniels in Chicago. I had his women's title, which that one was pretty big for me. I got to wrestle like Allison Kay, Christy James. And it was just really cool. Like, I remember like Danny Daniels is, he would always have those banners of all like the people who
were wrestling
would come, and then but like they're signed now or something.
Oh wow.
There was one show we did that Ruby came back and got to do, because like
Ruby Soho,
yeah, because AAW was a big one for her. So like I did that one, and then honestly the next like big show I did was NWA, and I was extra for NWA for a little bit.
So talking about that, this is of course the NWA that's run by Billy Corgan, and it's kind of, it's keeps continuing to grow, getting TV and finding ways to continue to build. So tell us about your time there, and how did you get in there, and what did you think of it?
Thunder Rosa actually got me in.
Oh, okay.
So my uncle used to train her. Like, they would personal train and like wrestling training.
Oh, your uncle was a wrestler?
Yeah.
Really? You didn't say, who was your uncle's name?
Doug Simmons.
Doug Simmons. Yeah. Where did he wrestle at?
TNA.
Really?
I think he doesn't tell me like all the details, because he's stubborn. But he's not like shoot uncle. He's just like
Yeah.
One of those. It's easier to
trust. Yeah.
We don't talk to the family uncle, so he became the uncle. But he like worked with her a lot, and then she was like, "Oh, I need, you know, NWA is looking for more girls," and he put my name out there. So then she was like, "Okay, sure, yeah," like, and gave me a chance. And I was terrified. They bought my plane ticket. I was like, "What do you mean you guys buy my plane? Like, what?
Your first plane ticket?"
They bought it, and I was like, "What? What?" Mm-hmm. And then they're like, "Oh yeah, we buy your hotel." I was like, "What? I don't got to do all this. I don't got to drive home." And like, but it was my first one was in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was we were at like a news building, I remember, and it was like set up for like other TV shows too. Like if you went in the wrong room, it was like set up for like I can't remember what show it was, but they had like the podium in the middle, and they had like the razors. And it was like, I think it was a talk show or something.
Gotcha.
But it was just weird, because it was like I had never seen a TV setup. I had never seen any of that. And I was just like, oh my God, this is real. Like, this is actual TV. And like, that was like my first experience at TV. And I was terrified. Like, dress, and you know, you dress up and you do all this shit and shaking and heels. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I don't know anybody.
That's what they tell you to do, right?
Oh, yeah. And it was like December or something, so it was freezing, because I don't know how to dress like a girl. But and then they had like this big meeting at first, you know, first day of tapings, big meeting, you know, you're in this huge room and it's echoing, and terrified. I didn't know anybody, so I'm standing in a corner, and all of a sudden, do you know who Marche Rocket from Chicago is?
Yeah.
He was there. So okay. Like, he trains at the CSW school as well.
Oh, okay.
And I just hear his laugh like echo from the other side of the building, and I was like, oh my God, I know that laugh. And I like walked up to him and I was like, hi. And he goes, you're here. And I was like, yeah. Didn't Hades tell you? And he goes, no, I told Hades I was coming. I was like, oh, I told him I was coming. So our trainer knew we were both going to be there. Didn't tell any
tell
of us.
The one, yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, it was pretty cool. And he's still there now. He's actually, I think he's tag champ currently, I think.
So did you have any interactions with Billy at all?
Yeah, we would actually sit like in the lobby of the hotel, and we would all just like sit and hang out with Billy. He would tell us lots of stories of like Hollywood and Smashing Pumpkins and stuff like that. Especially like at the Chase, because it was nice out when we were in St. Louis, so we would all just like sit by the pool and just hang out and talk, and it was really cool to just hear everybody's like different wrestling stories.
Yeah, for sure. Especially for you being so new to the business, right?
I had no sleep. I was just like, I'm gonna stay up and listen. I'm here, guys. I'm not going
to. Who else was there telling stories?
Mickey for the Empower Loop. Kira Hogan was there for the Empower Loop as well. That was the loop she got to wrestle Mickey. Mecha Wolf was there with his tag partner, Marche, Melina. There's a lot of people there.
It's a lot of experienced people telling stories,
The one paper, not the Empower pay-per-view, the actual NWA pay-per-view, Flair came and did a promo. We were all like, oh my God, but now he's here.
Yeah.
This is so weird, like, to think, oh, yeah, just a coworker now, like, no big deal.
How long were you in NWA for?
Only a couple months. Gotcha. Because then the last loop was the Empower loop, and then I got signed here.
So talk about the Empower loop. So this was the show that Mickie James put on that was an all women's pay per view.
It was really cool. Cause like Billy gave her like total control, and she was so helpful with putting everything together, like from like entrances to pre show to gear to like the match itself. Like we all had match agents, but like she would come over and be like, "I want to hear your match," or "I want to." What can I help you with? Or she was beyond helpful. Mm. And I got to wrestled Christy Janes on the pre-show. So I was the very first entrance music. And it was really cool because I was like, holy shit. Like, I'm first, guys. And I'm the first chick in the chase. Like, ha. So I thought I was the coolest thing ever. And we got
very cool. Christy's got the Brazilian gimmick thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had wrestled before, too. So we were like super comfortable with each other already. Mm. So we did like a lot of lucha because she did a lot of lucha down. And I don't know. Where she did lucha, but she told me she
Right. She did some Mexico stuff and things like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but we got to do. It was just cool because it was like I got to wrestle somebody I knew and I trusted, and I was like, we can just go out and do our thing and be like, yeah, guys, we're here.
And that was at the Chase.
Yes,
that's obviously a very famous.
It was so cool.
Historical.
I took so many
building.
Pictures. It was like it said like NWA Empower on the thing. I was taking pictures outside like a fan. I was like, don't worry, guys. Just any memories.
And you can appreciate that. Like, do you know a lot about wrestling history? Have you learned over the years of?
The fact that once they said it was like at the Chase, like me and Marche, when we were like talking about going, we were like, oh my God, we need to get there early. Like just the fact that we get to be in the building.
Yeah.
And then like we stayed at the hotel, like connected. So we're like, this is so cool. We're just
That's
here.
So cool.
And we're like walking around St. Louis, like, you know, we're actually here doing this. And it's like, doesn't feel real. Like
I've been to St. Louis probably 50 times. I've never been to the Chase before.
Really?
Yeah. I've never had a show there. I checked it out. So it's cool that you got to see
it. Yeah, it was really cool. Walking around, don't recommend as a girl. Don't do that.
That area?
But, oh, yeah. I learned the hard way. I was like, never again. But
but wrestling obviously toughens you up for...
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had to deal with anything like that with people?
So many times. I had a fan want to date my mom for a while. That was fun. And he showed up at our house.
Say it one more time.
I had a fan show up at my mom's house.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Trying to date my mom.
So a fan of yours just wanted to date your mom. Wow.
Yeah, that one was weird, but I was outside too. We had my parents' house has a downhill driveway, so whenever it would storm, we would flood in the garage. So we were already outside, like cleaning the garage out, because once you start flooding, it's it's inevitable to fix.
Done, yeah.
My parents were in the house, and my dad stayed home from work, so my dad was actually home, and I was outside. I was moving stuff. I was like, I'm gonna help, and I see a car pull up, and I was like, okay. Figured it was somebody like dropping off food for somebody else. And the guy gets out and I'm like, what the? I was like, what are you doing here? And he was like, and then my dad heard me yell, and my dad comes out the house and he goes, Uda. And my dad like went off. Like, yeah. My dad's old school Polish, so he's like yelling. And this guy's like, and then hands him a card and then runs. And we're like, what? And it's like a birthday card from my mom with like a Portillo's gift card in it. And we're like, this is weird, dude. Like, what?
Oh my gosh.
Like, how did you get my parents' address? Like,
no kidding, right? That's crazy. So we just tell them,
like,
go away, never come back?
I think my dad scared him enough. Like, my dad can be loud sometimes.
Wow.
So we're like, okay. This was weird. I never expected that one. I was like, Mom, what are you doing here, Mom? Like, can't take you to shows anymore.
Yeah.
You gotta stay home now. Stay home.
So let's talk about how you ended up coming to AEW.
So let's see. The first time I was an extra was Jacksonville during the pandemic.
Let's talk about that. So your career's starting, and then this pandemic comes, probably four or five
terrifying.
Years in your career.
Terrifying.
Tell us why it was terrifying, kind of how you dealt with it.
I'm horrible. I can't sit still. Like, I have to be go, like, and... Then they were like, when they was putting curfews, especially in like the city, like they were like,
Chicago was bad too.
Yeah. They were like, you can't leave the house past this time. You can't be outside. You can't do this. I'm like, I was going stir crazy. My mom was like, I don't care. Just get out of the house. Do something.
Yeah.
But so I had Mania bookings that weekend. I took a bunch of indie bookings, and one of them was a GCW show. So I was going to be in Tampa already. And God bless him. Joey Janela hits me up. And there's a clip of me and Billy Starks wrestling. And he sends me this clip and he goes, please don't kill her. Don't do this again. I was like, okay. Uh-huh. He goes, text Sean Dean. I was like, what? And he's like, just do it. I was like, okay. Hit Sean Dean up. He goes, you from Chicago? I was like, yeah. He goes, what part? And I tell him where I was from. He goes, cool. You're an extra. And I was like, what? And like losing my mind. And I remember looking at my phone crying. I was like, there's no way this is real. And he's like, yeah, just change your flight, come early. I was like, okay.
Oh, that's great.
And so I came down, and it was when we were doing like Tuesday through Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And I was there the whole time. And my first match was Britt, and then my second one was Abaddon. And I remember shaking the entire time. And Almanada was actually an extra too. So we both had our first day as extras together.
Is she a Chicago
girl? No, she's Columbus.
But someone you just knew from the area.
Yeah, and I kind of just forced her to stay at my house. She doesn't get a choice.
Right.
But
so
yeah,
you guys were extras at the same time?
We didn't know we were going to be extras at the same time. So we're standing in line with our COVID papers. And I'm just like, is that who I think that is? And we look over and we're like, both relieved. We're like, oh my God, we know somebody. This is a little less scary.
So it's intimidating, right? When you show up, let's discuss that for a second. When you show up somewhere and you don't know anybody and you know, you got to just fit right into the locker room, right?
I'm just holding my paper in line with the coat because we had to do COVID tests before we could go into dailies. I don't remember who it was. I think it might have been MJF, I think. But I remember standing in line and he just goes, blue? And I was like, yes. And he goes, okay, just making sure. Like, oh, okay. Like, never met you. Okay.
Yeah.
And I was like terrified. I just remember like walking around daily. So I was like, can I do this? Can I walk this way? Like, what am I supposed to do?
So my first day when I signed with WCW was kind of like the same, like a small TV taping. And I walked in and I got there so early. There was nobody there except Hall and Nash. It was their first day of work too. And I'd never met them either. And I was like super nervous, obviously. Yeah. And then I think they were actually kind of nervous too, because they got there early and we're just like,
we're like the kids.
We just started a new school. And we don't know anything. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it was hard too with the pandemic and obviously wrestling in front of no people.
Yeah. That's when we were the crowd.
That's right. You guys were the crowd. So talk about that.
It was scary because, you know, you had to be loud the whole time. Then you feel awkward because you're like, oh, I don't know these people yet. Like, you're just trying to make enough noise. And it's weird because it's daily. So it's like outside. So it's like you have to be even louder because you don't echo. You know, there's no walls. We're all just like, oh, my God, this is scary. And then like going to the back, too, is even scary. I was like, I have to go out there. Like, I have to be preloaded. Can I just,
It was hard, too, though, because like when you're wrestling and it's like, you know, you guys, 40 of you or 30 or whatever it was. Like, dude, I've been wrestling in front of thousands of people for 25 years. It was so hard.
Yeah.
But thank goodness you guys were out there and there was such good
energy.
It's
less awkward.
At least you could get something out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like it's more awkward if there's less people because then you can actually like see them and hear them. Like that part's the worst.
What's the smallest crowd you ever wrestled in front of?
Oh, you don't want to know that number.
I got 7.
8. The very first training school, there would be like nobody in the crowds. It was so small. And like,
sure, yeah.
We were in the middle of nowhere, like very shit area. And my mom would be like, someday she'd be like, I don't think we should run the show today, guys. Let's just camp. And they'd be like, no, we're doing the show. Okay. Sorry we said anything.
It's like you said, like when you wrestle like in front of a stadium crowd, it's just like one living, breathing animal.
Yeah.
When you wrestle in front of 8,
you
seven,
hear every little voice.
And you
voice.
See every person, and you're just like, and the thing I always felt bad about is like, these people are showing up going, we're going to wrestling tonight. And they're like, there's nobody here. They probably feel stupid
just as
too.
Awkward as we do.
Yeah, exactly, right?
I feel like there is one, and like, I feel like if I don't know the people, like, I can go out there and be like, oh, I don't know these people. I'm never going to see them again.
Yes.
I can feel stupid. It's okay.
Yes.
They put, the first time that I got tickets from my parents, they put them front row, but I didn't know they put them front row. And my parents didn't tell me. And it was like, it was a Chicago. And I remember coming down the ramp. I didn't even get halfway down the ramp and I could see my mom's bright hair. And I was like, oh no. I was like, no, they did not. Terrible. And it was a tag match. And I remember being on the apron and I could just hear her yelling. And I'm like, no, please, you're making me nervous. Don't do this. So now I'm like, please just hide her in a corner. Just stick her in
the
corner.
Right, right, yeah.
And then she's like, no, I want to watch. She's so stubborn.
So you're doing the Jacksonville shows and they keep bringing you back as an extra.
Yeah, well, I did the one, and then I didn't come back until the Chicago I got signed.
So Chicago, I remember this. We had like 2 or 3 shows.
Mm-hmm. And we did it
in around September.
It was a All Out week.
I think right when Punk first came in, right around that time frame.
No, he did the. He came in for the. Center.
This
one.
Was the night it was Danielson and Adam Cole.
Yes. The Hoffman Estates one.
Yeah, and they debuted on the same night, and there was a whole bunch of crew. So, yeah, so tell me, because I remember that you were on the show from Chicago, Illinois, Sky Blue.
I wrestled Riho the first night. Riho the first night. And they were like, hey, you're going to have one more. It's your test match. And I was like, my what? And I was freaked out. But it was me and Red, so it was super cool, because like, we had wrestled in the indies before.
Red Velvet?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And we'd wrestled in the indies before, so I was like, okay, we know each other. We're going to be fine. And went and did the match. And I remember Aubrey was the ref. And she was like, the whole time, she's like, you guys are doing great. You guys are doing great. This is amazing. And I'm like shaking the whole time. I'm just trying to wrestle. I'm like, oh my God, no. And then match was finished, and I was starting to go down loser lane, and TK came out to the top. And they came and got me, and I was like, oh my god, what are we doing? And they walked me up the ramp, and that's when he said, do you want to be in the Battle Royal? But I was so convinced. I was like, oh my god, is she going to, am I getting fired? What did
I, so what did, I was, what did he freaked ask you?
Out. He asked me to be in the Battle Royal.
The next day or later that night?
The Sunday.
Okay,
the Sunday of the pay-per-view.
So how were you feeling then?
I cried so much that day. I cried, and then I, because my mom wasn't at that show, because I was just an extra.
Yeah.
I didn't buy tickets to bring her to like stuff like that. And I remember calling her, and I was like, hey, they put me in the Casino Battle Royal. And she was like, I know your dad saw it on Facebook already. My dad's a Facebook dude.
Right.
And she's like freaking out, and I was like, well, there's one more. And she goes, what? And I was like, they offered me a contract. I have never heard my mother scream that loud in my life. And over the phone, too, I got the phone up to my ear, and she's screaming. I was like, oh, hello.
So did he offer you a contract at that time, too?
No. So he put me in the Battle Royal, and then, like, I got to the back. I, like, breathed for, like, maybe 10 minutes, and CD was like, hey, come here, kid. I was like, oh, what? And I bawling. He didn't even finish what he was saying, and I was bawling. And he was like, it's a good thing. I was like, yes, yes, no, it's great. Yeah, thank you, thank you. I just never expected this, like, at all.
How did you feel?
I was on cloud nine for days. Like, I could not sleep. I was so excited. I remember going home and being like, Mom, like, it's real.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel real, but it's real.
Yeah.
And, like, when I came home with the papers, too, she was, like, she literally was like, can we just frame these? I was like, no, we have to sign them. We have to give them to them.
Photocopy it after I've signed it, yeah.
But she still, she even, from my first paycheck from AEW when I was an extra, she has that on a wall because cool. She was so excited.
But it was cool. I remember seeing you because you have the hat on backwards. Yep. And you just look like you're just excited. Like, you know, it's a cool vibe, you know, that people can pick up from that.
I didn't even know my gear at the time was the female basketball team that played in the Hoffman Estates Arena.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know it was their colors. And I was like, yeah, I did this on purpose, guys.
See, can't you tell? Coordination.
Definitely knew what I was doing.
So talk about some of your earlier, because how long ago was that? That was 2 years ago now?
That was 21.
21, so three years ago. So talk about kind of some of your bigger moments in AEW that you're proud of that stand up for you.
Casino Battle Royal was definitely like my top
The first one?
Yeah, that so one.
Let's
I
talk
was
about that.
Terrified, because like, I remember like going to do, like when TK does like the rundown, like, oh, this is, you know, how a Battle Royal works. This is what I want. And I remember just sitting there and everybody was there and I was like, oh my God, these are... all now my coworkers. It just didn't feel
and
real.
And this is where like five people come out.
Yeah,
and
we
five
did the,
more people come out. Yeah.
And I was in the first five and I got an entrance. I didn't even remember I had music by the end of the night. They were like, my mom was like, did you hear your music? And I was like, I had music? There's a picture that one of the Chicago photographers got. He was he came, you know, like how the fans can bring their cameras.
Yeah.
He did. And there's a picture. I literally look like I'm going to throw up on the ramp. I was like, please don't ever post this. And he goes, oh no, that's the one I'm posting. I was like, of course it is. But I just remember and I got to bring my parents last second and they got to be there for it. And I just remember like shaking the whole walk down the ramp. I was like, oh God, oh God, oh God. Like, not that I wanted it to be over, but one of those like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to do this. Like, this
right.
is, and there was, I think 20,000 people.
Yeah,
it was packed.
Yeah.
And I was never seen that many people.
Obviously
before in my
the
life.
Biggest crowd ever. Yeah. Probably all your other shows combined.
Oh yeah. Many, yeah. Everything combined. Like, all right, bring everybody from 2017.
Right.
But I just the fact that like I got to say I did it and it was in Chicago and it was like the first one. And like I remember doing something with Abaddon and it's like now I have had so many matches with Abaddon. I love wrestling Abaddon and it's like just like full circle, like from the beginning to now, it's like I feel like I just keep checking off like bucket list things or like different matches that I never thought I would actually happen, like Saraya or Ruby. I remember Ruby Soho. I always wanted to wrestle Ruby Soho and I was like, it's never gonna happen. And now I'm like, I've wrestled this girl so many times. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But it's wild. And or like Toni Storm. I remember sitting in math classes, like I hated school so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like watch her NXT matches and or whatever I could find, some Stardom or whatever it was. And I'd be like, I want to do that. I definitely can't do that, but I want to try to do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, when I got here and she came, I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to wrestle her. And now I've wrestled her for the title. I've had my mom front row to wrestle her for the title. And it's just like, so surreal. Never.
How was it for you, like going, you mentioned from the indies, and it's not like you went overseas and worked in arenas or anywhere. Like you basically went from indies to
TV.
The Hoffman Estates and TV and thousands of people. So you're kind of getting thrown right into it because you mentioned doing a little bit of TV with NWA, but this is different. This is live national TV.
Yeah.
How did you take on that that responsibility and that challenge?
It was definitely hard. It was a lot to get used to. I remember like one of my first, when we were doing Darks in Orlando, I remember I was so confused on where the hard camera was, and I turned up and got in the wrong corner for my entrance. I was like facing the other wall, and they're like, "Hey, Sky,
turn around."
Literally, like the ref was like, "Sky, Dustin said turn around." I'm like, "Oh, where's the camera?" I'm like looking for the red dot. I'm like, oh my God, where is it? And now it's like instinct, but it's like the little things that
that's truly it. Like until you figure that out,
until you're like thrown in the deep end and do it, it's so hard to like do on the indies because, you know, they don't have any of that on the indies.
Yeah. Because you don't know.
Yeah.
And there is none of that. So, and that can becomes kind of second nature at this point in time.
Yeah. Now it's like, where's the light? Okay, cool.
And also live TV. That's the other thing that's hard.
That's still so scary to me.
Or something like, yeah.
It's live. There ain't no fixing it.
Have you had moments like that where things went wrong?
Definitely have. Not that I remember for the pay-per-view, because Full Gear was my first pay-per-view. I remember I was like, I want to take the hat off and stomp on it. Like to get the hat off, my hand was shaking as I threw it down. And then to lift my foot was shaking. I was like, oh God, I'm not even going to be able to do this. Like I'm just stepping on a hat. Like, but there's been so many like shaking, nervous moments. I'm like, oh, thank God they don't ask me to talk. Cause I'd be like, shaking the mic, nervous.
But that's a whole other thing now.
I know.
That's another reason why I wanted to have you on Talk is Jericho, just to have a chat with no pressure and anything like that. So talk about some of your promo moments. Cause you've improved, obviously.
Thank you.
But when you start, it's like you don't have anybody teaching you. You just here's your mic and say your
stuff. On the indies, you don't do promos. Like,
no.
I mean, I think more so now, like companies are letting people do like indie promos and stuff like that. But like when I was on the indies, like we didn't do that. You just filmed something on your iPhone. Hey, this date at this arena, come watch me wrestle so and so.
Right.
And like now that it's like there's cameras, there's people watching you, there's certain bullet points you gotta hit. I'm just like, I don't even know. Like I feel bad. It takes like, you know, sometimes you take multiple takes or whatever, but it's like, it's a whole nother thing. It's like a lot to think about. And just like, you got to think about, and then you're like, you got to say one word at a time and you're like 10 words ahead. I'm just like,
well, yeah,
but it's like, I don't know. It's like one of those things that still makes me nervous, very nervous, but it's like, I know it's like, that's the next step.
It will for a while.
Yeah.
Cause that's like I said, you have such a great energy and presence in your ring entrance. You have to figure out a way to bring that into your promos with the same personality and charisma and shininess, right?
And it's hard because it's like you got to get through a camera. It's like in front of a person, I feel like it's easier. But when you got to get it through a camera, then you're like, oh, does it make sense?
Yeah.
But
How about some of the title match that you mentioned that you worked with Tony?
With Tony.
And with Saraya. Yeah. But talk about working with we'll start with Tony because you mentioned you watching her and actually being in the ring with her.
Yeah, I was so excited. I love wrestling her. She challenges me every time. I feel like it's every time it's just it's different and it's we want to show that, like, put on a good match and show everybody, be like, hey, this is why we are the women's. We are, you know, the women are just as much of a draw as the men. And I feel like every time I wrestle Tony, like, I learn more every time, and I feel like I get better as a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And I learn from her because it's different every time. You know, and every opponent's going to be different. Everybody has different styles. They've traveled to wherever. But, oh, goodness.
Pyro just went off.
As I jump through the
ceiling. Got us, yeah.
But I think like just and like from like the house shows to TV to I didn't wrestle in Orlando, but like different scenarios of wrestling her, it's just like because you can have a different match and you could tell a different story and just learn different things from her.
And what about Saraya?
I was so nervous for that first one. I could not believe I was actually wrestling her. I remember like being in the ring and then her music hit and I was like, oh yeah, this is happening. Like terrified, but this is happening. And I had staples in my head at the time.
How'd you get staples?
Oh dear, not this story. they got pretty mad at me. I was doing an indie show and I was wrestling one of the kids that I trained with for
years. You were signed here?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
They approved the indie.
Yeah.
It was like it was a lucha show.
Oh no.
And they were like, oh, they needed him to win, so I was like, okay, I'll just get disqualified, you know, because I couldn't lose at the time and whatever. And I was like, oh, we'll do a chair spot, we'll get disqualified, it'll be fine. He's like, yeah, okay. And like I did a hardcore match with this dude before, so I was like, I felt comfortable with him. I was like, oh, just do the Sabu, the chair at me like we did before. It'll be fine.
Throwing
like,
the chair at your face type of thing, yeah.
And it was like, it'll be fine. He's like, okay, cool. He forgot to like palm the chair. So the chair spiraled in midair.
Oh.
And it was one of those, not like the nice, you know, like the nice chairs like we have. It was like the really crap lucha show chairs where they have the metal bar on the back. And I just turned my head. I didn't think. And it caught me right at the side of my head.
Oh,
but
no.
I didn't know I was bleeding because I just sold down. And then we still had like a couple more things we had to do. And I got up and I flipped my hair and my back was just wet. And I was like, what the hell? I looked down, there was just a pool. And I was just like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
And then But then, like, they couldn't find where the staple, where the cut was I had so much hair.
Hair so long, yeah.
And so they're like, we'll wrap your head and then go to the hospital. I was like, all right. And I was wrapped my head and I was like, okay, I'm going to go get my car keys. I turn around, my mom's right here. I was like, how did you? And she goes, let's go. And I was like, okay, yes, ma'am. And my poor mother took me to the hospital to go get staples in my head. And she was like, of all things, Skylar. And I was like, yeah, I know. You know, and I had to go in my gear, too, because they thought I cracked my skull. So I'm like sitting in the waiting room in my gear, and there's like a coughing baby, and there's an old person. I'm like, I look really weird right now.
Yeah, that's always the way. Late night trips to emergency after wrestling shows.
Yep, it's the best.
That's actually how we ended up getting doctors in WWE. I had to do that once in like Louisville.
Oh, no.
Same thing, like 4 a.m. All there is all the crackheads and methods mm-hmm. and shooting each other. I'm like, this is not happening like, again. Vince, we need a doctor.
Like, I don't want to sit here with these people.
I'm in my wrestling gear, you know?
It's the I was like wrapping a hoodie around my waist. I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be in shorts. And I was like, can I go change, guys? And they're like, no, we think you cracked. I'm like, no, stop saying I cracked my
ass is hanging out.
I was like, I really don't want to be walking through I was like, can I put my QR code or something? Like, here, guys, you're going to stare. You might as well help me with it.
Hey, let me ask you that. You just mentioned QR code. Is that something you have now on the indies? Do you have like codes with your stuff all on it?
No, I should.
You should. I'm assuming that's what they probably do now, right?
I was joking. I was like, oh, I should get it tattooed. And just and every time somebody tries to take a picture of me, it comes up. I'm like, hey, guys. I was joking with that somebody, and they're like, that is going to be one ugly tattoo, Scott. Please don't do that. I was like, oh, okay.
Let's be smart now rather than having all your stuff and carrying it from town to town. Here's the card with the QR, scan it and buy it. Instantly shipping it to you.
It's right there.
Yeah, exactly, right? As we start to wind down here, talk a little bit about the whole thing with the House of Black and that angle, because that to me was kind of like the first kind of almost real angle and longer-term storyline that you've been involved in.
Yeah, I did not expect it like at all. I remember like, me and Willow were talking about just like wanting to like just be a women's tag team and whatever, and you know, try to make a tag division because there's not a lot of women's tags like here yet. So we were like, oh, we could do that. And then they presented the idea and they were like, hey, you're gonna get misted. And I was like, does that mean I get to be spooky? And they were like, yeah. Have you ever been a heel? I was like, no. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I always wanted to be a heel on the indies. And everybody's like, no, you're too much of like cute little baby face.
Right.
Like, come on, guys, I can be mean. And then when they said, they're like, yeah, we're going to, you know, eventually. And I was like, let's do it. Mm-hmm. I was so excited. And like, and there would be days that we were like, not know. Like, they were like, oh, maybe not. And I was like, please.
I really want to.
I want to challenge myself. I want to learn how to be a heel. I want to learn, like, I want to learn every aspect mm-hmm. of wrestling. I want to do as much of it as I can.
Sure.
So I was super excited. And like, I feel like me and Julia could be a really cool tag team. I mm-hmm. feel like we kind of look like, not like sisters, but you know, like the blonde brunette duo.
I was gonna say the, and we're both opposites, super young. Similar opposites. Yeah, and both young. Yeah, probably the same age probably, right? 24 or so or 20?
She's 22, I believe.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. There was a picture. I saw it on Twitter. It was a picture that we had tagged when she was still a cheerleader. And I had my hat and my Chicago stuff. And then they put the picture from Collision. I was like, that's so cool. And we've both grown up together.
Yeah, that's true.
Through
yeah,
wrestling, right, through right. AEW. And like, we're both like super young and young in wrestling, and we're both just, hey, we're here on she's a TBS champion, and it's wild. I couldn't get over that picture. I was like, that is so cool, like then and now. Like,
have you had any hardcore matches here in AEW?
No. Okay, yeah, I've been dying for one. Please, TK, please. Every street, all the girl tag street fights, I'm like, you guys need to run in? You need another body? Like, I can do it. I'm like, I'll do it. I'll take whatever.
But now, it's like you did the thing with Julia last week, and it's a big match tonight, or
Collision.
And who's that against?
Abaddon and Thunder Rosa.
This is all coming full circle for real now, right?
Yeah, because I wrestled Thunder, one of my first NWAs.
Hmm.
So I was like, this is really cool because we haven't wrestled each other in AEW. We've like tagged together, but we hadn't wrestled each other. I was like, so this will be cool. And it's her return and it's in her hometown. So,
which is great. And like you said, and really starting to branch out now in a heel.
Yeah.
And has a heelless fashion.
Sorry, San Antonio. Hate me. But it's okay.
Last couple things for you. If you had to pick your favorite match that you've had, is there one that stands out for you?
Oh goodness. I think here, I think one of the ones that I got to like really show out and go crazy was me and Jade at Battle of the Belts, but the second one, not the first one we did. Because I remember the buzz was insane when we did that, when I tried to springboard and she caught me into her finish. So I thought that match was definitely one of my favorites. And it was like Battle of the Belts, so I was like, it's like a baby pay-per-view.
That's true.
So it felt really cool to like be able to be like, all right, let's just go balls to the walls and show everybody what we can do. And then Full Gear, for sure. full, that was,
which was full gear,
me, Stat, and or me, Statlander, and Julia
in a three-way.
In a three-way.
Oh, wow. So talk about that, because three-ways are different to put together than...
They are so difficult. Right. Yeah, yeah. And we had so many... I had so many ideas because I was beyond excited. I'm horrible. Like, when I come with ideas, I'll just write them down in a notebook and be like, hey, guys, look at all my crazy ideas. Like, mm-hmm. fun ways for you to beat me up. But it was, like, they hadn't confirmed it. It was like, there was, like, rumblings of it. They're like, oh, maybe, maybe not. I was like, do I need to fly my parents out to LA? And somebody just kind of nudged me and like did one of those. And I was like, okay. And I like bought my parents flights, and my parents hadn't been on a plane since I was in eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
And they had them, like, I think they were on the floor, and my mom was losing it. And the whole time I'm just like, this is a pay-per-view. Like, my very first pay-per-view. I've been here since 21. And
I was like, oh, wow. That was your first pay-per-view. That's cool.
Yeah. I was like, oh man, I need a full gear tattoo now to go on my wrestling arm.
You put it next to your QR code.
I should, honestly. I have so many, like, this arm is just my wrestling tattoo arm, so it's like, it'll be something so there.
What do you have on your wrestling tattoo arm?
Oh goodness, what all do I have? This is the date that I got the full contract. I did 21 for, I was 21 in 2021.
When you got the
contract. When I got the first one. And, yeah, I just want, like, all the big moments in my life to be commemorated.
Hopefully wrestling. One of those dates will be the AEW Women's Champion.
One day. Yeah. I hope.
Last thing, we're going on the Jericho cruise together.
I am so excited. I have never been on a cruise.
It's so cool. A lot of people I asked are like, why don't I give me some, and you're just like, sure. I'm like, that was easy.
Oh yeah. She's so excited. Because I remember like watching everybody and like seeing all the fun matches, like, this just looks like so much fun.
Yeah.
And I've never like been on a boat. I'm gonna be like looking over, like, oh, maybe don't look that way, Sky. But no, my parents have always like wanted to go on cruises, but like we just never did it. Like, uh-huh. We didn't have that money when I was a kid. And my mother would be terrified of falling overboard. She hates the ocean. but I was super excited. Like, I've never been on a boat. I've never even been to Mexico. That's where it's done. Yeah. And I was like,
it's great.
Adventures.
We'll call you Water Blue on
the
cruise.
There we go. I'll just be like in the pool the whole time. Be like, hey guys, what's up?
It's awesome talking to you. I'm excited for your match on Saturday.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.